you don't have birthdays, you're not here anymore. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18, folks. 1 Kings chapter 18. So good having Linda and Ray and Danielle up here today. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. Lord Jesus, we just love you. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for the people you've placed in this church and love we have for each other. Lord, we've been talking about revival. We all need revival. Oh, open the windows of heaven here today. Just pour out. We give you praise. We give you praise. Lord, I ask you to use me as your vessel. Speak through me this morning. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Amen. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Verse 2, so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Then go down to verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat, to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. Verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Verse 44, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud, small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Verse 45, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. And Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Verse 46. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's stop right there. Revival, it's been our focus of attention over the past several weeks. And I want to continue on that subject today. I hope the Lord has been inspiring all of us with just, you know, a sense that revival is coming. Amen? I hope you've been praying that way. In our text this morning, Elijah receives a word of God, word from God, following a 3.5-year drought. 3.5 years, the word proclaimed the coming of an abundance of rain. Amen. And even though this prophetic word seemed unlikely, nonetheless, it was given specifically to Elijah from the Almighty himself. Now, the interesting thing is that immediately after God spoke to Elijah, the Bible states that the famine continued in the land. Despite the promise of a flood, the present circumstance of the famine made everything appear rather bleak. As believers, we know God has a way of stepping into the worst situation with promises of victory. Amen? In fact, it is during those difficult times that God chooses to work the most often. Because when he brings a flood out of a drought or a feast in a famine, everyone around can't help but know it was God. Amen. It was to Gideon that God said in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Remember the story of Jairus' daughter? Jesus allowed her to die so he could raise her from the dead. Amen. Listen, folks, God delights in working where man cannot work. He loves it. He delights in bringing answers to situations that stump men. They just stump them. Our Lord delights in doing what a man claims is impossible. Impossible. God says in his word, "My glory I won't share with another." My glory I won't share with another. He displays his power before men in such a way that no man can receive the credit. No man can receive the glory, because the glory belongs to the Lord. Glory belongs to God. In Matthew 19, 26, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Amen. Praise the Lord that he specializes in doing the impossible. Amen. He specializes in that. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, there are many times when God will speak increase to us during the time when we are experiencing loss or barrenness. This is the time we must activate and really use our faith. And this is where the promises of God will most often be tested or judged in our lives. God spoke to Abram in Genesis chapter 12 and gave him great promises, asked him to leave his homeland, and then sent him to live between Bethel and Ai, and where there's great famine. So he left his homeland to go live in a famine. Amen? Yep. Joseph was given a dream by God in Genesis 37 that he would eventually be elevated above his brothers. And then immediately after that dream, immediately afterwards, Joseph was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. David was anointed to be the future king of Israel and then sent back to the pastures to tend his sheep. The widow woman was promised increase by Elijah when she was preparing for the death of herself and her son. God promised that he would bring a living, breathing army back to life while Ezekiel was staring at these dry bones scattered all across the valley floor. Jesus was baptized to fulfill every bit of the law and then immediately was led into a wilderness experience. You can see that God's promises are sometimes followed by God's proving ground. Yeah. Amen? Amen? All right. It's easy to trust God in times of surplus. The question remains, can you trust him in times of barrenness? It's easy to trust Jesus in a time of feasting, but you can trust him in a time. Can you trust him in a time of famine? It's easy to trust God when the economy is good and overtime is plentiful, but can you trust him when you're laid off? Amen. It's easy to trust God for a great revival when the music's playing, the seats are full, the church is hopping, but can you and I still trust him when we experience the loss of close friends or the enthusiasm wanes? Brothers and sisters, the greatest test of our faith comes when God says, "I will," but we look around and he hasn't. Yeah. Amen? But just because he hasn't, doesn't mean that he's not going to. Amen. Hallelujah. And throughout the Word, no matter how long it took, God's promises always came to pass. Did you hear me? God's promises always came to pass. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Sometimes when we don't see it, we begin to be negative and start to believe that it will never happen. We fear that God has forgotten His Word, that He's forgotten His promises. But saints, that's where faith comes in. Amen? God's promise always requires a step of faith to activate them. And remember, faith is not seeing something. Faith is acting upon that which you cannot see. Amen? In fact, the very definition of faith is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then in the New Living Translation of that same verse, it says, "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." And still another translation says, "Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it." Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to live in faith, you must simply disregard your circumstances. Believe God for what He's promised you. Amen. No matter how unlikely it might be. Romans 4:19 says, "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." Abraham wasn't weak in faith. Faith does not give up on the promises of God, no matter how long it takes. In some cases, it took years before God's promises were completed. Years. Faith is knowing that I may not see it or touch it, feel it, but God said it. Therefore, I believe it. Amen. I believe it. And not only do I believe it, but I'll act on it even when others think I'm crazy.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And they do. God said it, so I'll do it. Amen? I want to be like Peter when Jesus told him to throw his nets out on the other side. I may not think anything will happen, but Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, Lord, I will." Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Now, let's get back to Elijah. Elijah's prophetic word from the Lord called for an abundance of rain. Abundance. Not a sprinkle, not a heavy dew, not a quick shower, but an abundance. That was the promise of God. That was the promise. However, immediately after the vision was given, the servant saw nothing. Saw nothing. Now, let me bring out 3 points about this story that I believe apply to those who are gathered here today. Amen? Let me get a drink of water before we go further. All right, first of all, there had already been a drought for 3.5 years. Right? There had been a drought for 3.5 years. Now, as they waited, it was important for the man of God to overcome the first obstacle. Elijah needed to instill faith in his servant as well as everyone else around him. So faith had to overcome the obstacle of past history. The obstacle of past history. It had not rained in years. What makes you think it will rain now? We have suffered from a drought. So how can we expect anything will change? We have become accustomed to famine. Why make us think we can enjoy a feast now? The way it's always been is the way it will always be. We've had plenty of people through the years tell us that they thought it was going to rain and nothing happened. Don't get our hopes up again. Listen, folks, whenever God desires to move among his people and bring life-changing, life-giving change, he must first can overcome the mindset that says, it's been done. It's always been done. It continues to be done this way. As believers, we must grasp the truth. We must get the truth that God can do more for us than he's ever done before. Amen? He can do more for us than he's ever done before. However, God cannot do anything in the midst of people who refuse to believe. Sadly, it's in God's church that he often struggles to work. In the midst of the people the Lord loves, the ones he desires to bless the most, he encounters the greatest resistance. It was in Jesus' own hometown that he was unable to perform any miracles. The Bible says in Matthew 13:58, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The locals had watched Jesus grow up. They knew his past history. So they just concluded in their own minds, sorry, it's too much of a stretch to believe that the carpenter's son can heal the sick or raise the dead or open blind eyes. But listen, folks, once the curse of your history has been broken in your life, then God can bring an abundance. God can bring an abundance. Listen to these three scriptures. Genesis 23:19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, which is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Okay? Genesis 24:1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Chapter 25:1-2. Abraham again took a wife. Amen. And her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Abraham said, hey, I know I'm old. I was old back then. God blessed me with a son. Amen. Amen. If he did it then, he can do it again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. That's the faith you need, folks. Not to have kids, but just to go on and go on and go on. Hallelujah. Once the curse of history is broken, then God can send in abundance. Sometimes it's good to have a bad memory. The second thing I want Turning Point to remember is that even after the promise came from God, The servant went to look six times, and there was still absolutely nothing on the horizon. Is it at this point that we give up? How long do we wait? You've been in a spiritual drought, then someone comes along giving you fresh hope and a new glimpse of glory. Your pastor preaches a message that builds your faith, and then he says, things don't have to be like they've always been. Change is on the horizon. Rain is on the way. So you get up the next day full of faith, full of expectation, eagerly rushing to the kitchen window to witness the deluge. And there you see once again, just like every other day for the last number of years, cloudless skies, bright sunshine, hard-baked ground, no crops, dust swirls twisting across the brown tundra that you used to call a yard, and your faith plummets again, even lower this time because you've had your hope so high that maybe today will finally be the day that things change for good. Just as the Bible stated, after the promise, there was sore famine in the land. After the promise that God makes to you and me, famine may continue. Have you ever thought or cried? Have you ever shouted, this promise is never going to happen? It was just me getting my hopes up. I keep going back to the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday evening after Wednesday evening, scanning the horizon, waiting for the rain of revival, but I haven't seen it yet. But brothers and sisters, for the last few weeks, and I can't explain why, I think I see something. It's not all that big. It's pretty small, about the size of a man's hand. But sure enough, I see a cloud. I see a cloud. So I'm stepping out in faith again. I glimpse a bit of revival. Others may continue to see something minuscule. But I'm determined to see the abundance of rain. And finally, when the servant looked again, the cloud appeared. It was so small, it was likened to this man's hand. But the news inspired Elijah so much that he exclaimed, "This is it! Abundance! This is it." To others, it was minute. To Elijah, it was abundance. Folks, we often overlook the small things in life, the little precious gifts, the tiny hints of God's blessings. We should rejoice in all these things. But a small thing can quickly become a big thing when God's in it. Amen? Though through God's power, the little cloud brought an abundance of rain. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 4, the first part of verse 10 says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" Shame on us. God promised Abraham's seed would be as the sands of the sea or the stars of the sky, but it all had to start with one little baby boy. Jesus fed 5,000 people on the hillside one day, but he started with two fish and five loaves of bread. God created this vast universe and all that's in it in 6 days, but he started on the first day simply creating night and day from nothingness. Things that look small through the eyes of the natural become huge when you look through the eyes of the Spirit. Is there anyone in this place this morning who can hear what I'm hearing? Is there anyone who will go just one more time to the horizon and look for the promise? I know you've been there six times. I know you've been there six times. But this time different. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Revival's coming. Are you ready?
Yes.
God has appointed an appointed time for the outpouring, but He expects you and me to operate in faith as we prepare for His abundant blessings.
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Let your faith arise. Let your faith arise. Call those things that are not as though they were. Call for those things that are stored in the heavens to be showered down into this earthly realm. I want you to start listening close, saints. Start listening with those spiritual ears. Listening to the sound of the abundance of rain. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's doing something. God's doing something in me, and I see Him doing something in each one of you. Amen. We don't receive things well, do we? Changes, hurts, pain, we don't receive them well. We think, where was you in this, God? Or where are you in this, God? I sometimes think, well, I'd like to know His plan. And then I think I'd die probably if I did. I don't want to know what He's planning for me.
Ironically, I was praying this morning for my sister that she's also going through anxiety with everything that's going on over there, that God would show her the army of the angels that He has around her fighting. She might pass out from it, but...
Well, I've shared this before, but I think it's a good example. When it's dark outside and you get in your car and you turn on the headlights and you can see 30, 40 foot in front of you, that's where you drive. And you get to an intersection, you're going to turn, that light goes 30 to 40 foot that way. And you drive that 30 to 40 foot, and it's always ahead of you, and it's leading. You get to see where to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a vision where to go. And that's the way God does with us. He gives you just a little bit, and He wants you to take advantage of that, to go walk that walk. And then when you get to the end of that, He shows you a little bit more. A little bit more. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, folks, we can have revival. But it's not going to happen if we just lean back in that chair, watch anything we want to watch on TV, do anything we want to do. It's not going to happen if we disregard God. It's going to happen when we intently go after Him and His Spirit. Then we'll have revival. And it will be a blessing to everyone that participates. I don't know about you, but I like blessings. I don't like something other than blessings. I like blessings. So one day, my birthday made it just a little bit closer. One day, I'm going to go where the real revival takes place. There won't be a chance to your spirit be low up there.
I have a request, and it just came upon me. I need all my brothers and sisters and everybody to pray for me because Satan, he just keeps bothering me. And no matter how much I say, get behind me, he just keeps attacking me. And I don't know what, I'm sitting here and I don't know what made me blurt that out, but I did. I know God did.
Well, Christy, what you're going through, every one of us goes through.
And no, I need to be stronger.
Sure. And we all do.
And, you know, it's so hard because, you know, in my past I've had a pretty bad experience. But, you know, I just...
Well, we're going to pray for you, Christy.
Thank you. I mean, I love Jesus and God with all my heart. You know, and I believe all the things that He can do. But then all of a sudden this stupid... Satan comes around me and all his little devils just biting at my heels. And, you know, it's hard. I'm struggling to stay on God's side.
We'll pray. Amen. I want to have revival. Used to be that the church had revival every so often. We'd have revival services. And we've had them. And we've had some good ones. But unless we get revived personally, it's just another church service. I'm not looking for other church services. Amen. I'm looking for revival. I'm looking for God to touch us, to strengthen us, to grow us, hallelujah, to let us depend upon His gifts. Let His gifts be made evident in this house. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want all of us just to pray for Christy a minute. And there may be more of you that just fight's overwhelming. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift Christy up to You right now. Lord, she's going through what many of us fight on a daily basis as well. Lord, I rebuke Satan in the life of Christy Anderson. Satan, you have to turn loose of my sister. You have to leave her. You need to go to the pits of hell and stay there. As a spirit-filled believer, she has authority over the demons that are badgering her, that are talking in her ear, that are giving her opportunities to show weakness. But Lord, we rebuke them in Jesus' name, and we send them to the pits of hell. We bind them, and we loose the Holy Spirit to speak to Christy. To ignite her faith where she can stand against the enemies from hell. And Lord, I pray that for every one of us. We all fight this thing. But Christy is showing us that she's in a weak spot right now. And we ask you to build her up, to build her faith up, because an abundance of rain is coming. A flood is going to take place. We ask that Jesus speaks directly into Christy's spirit and reinforces what he's done in the past. Lord, let your love pour all over her right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Do not be afraid. I asked you to speak that because everybody here needed to hear it. Yes, it's true for you, but it's also true for everybody else. He wants to stop not just this church, but all churches from doing what I want them to do. And to do that, he has to stop the belief of the people. And so, you spoke out. You gave me the chance to place extra strength, not only in your heart, but in the heart of everyone here. And so thank you for having that courage to think, to speak out. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And I personally, as me, not speaking for God, but speaking for me, I thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together, folks.